Let's turn to John in chapter 8, verse 12. We'll follow up from the opposition of the religious elite this morning in Mark 11. And with that, they said, why are you doing this, Jesus? What is the authority you have to do the things you're doing? Meaning the cleansing of the temple. He also healed on that day when he cleansed the temple. And rather than believe what he did and go with his authority, they questioned it, which they did forever. And now these, of course, we read about them, but they died. And their opposition to Christ was seemingly cemented, and they were in danger and didn't know it. John 8, verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself? Because he says, Where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, literally I am, you will die in your sins. And they said to him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the acceptance we have of who you are, and not just who you are, but to have at one time come to know you and repent of our sin and to be drawn to you by you drawing us to yourself. Lord, that we can believe these things. And those who were the officials did not know you, completely missed their day of the greatest revelation, and went about their business as those who were unworthy of eternal life in the bad way of saying that. And so, Lord, I pray we would honor you. This is the problem the world has, that there is no honor for you. There will be in one way or the other. But, Lord, we noted here that it is not to be found. We pray that it would in this world by revival. But, Lord, we We need your miraculous working in the hearts of men for this to occur, and may it happen. In Jesus' name, amen. What did the Pharisees need that they didn't have? I mean, we see that they're blind. What did they lack? Did they need more religion? Well, they had more than anybody else. Who had more religion in the area of Jerusalem than the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes? They had the most. Did they need the will of God? They had it. Did they need more revelation? They had as much as anybody could ever have. Jesus had come. And yet, they are characterized as living basically on the beach and not knowing where the water was. They couldn't even hear the ocean crash on the shore. The seagulls didn't give them any clue as to where the ocean could be located. And they kept their faces away from the ocean. And when asked to get into the ocean, they said, "We don't even know where the ocean is. And who are you to tell us?" So they lived in complete numbness of brain. I mean, it's just one thing the Pharisees teach us is that you can be about the things of God and not have a clue. And the ones still, not the harlots, not the tax collectors, not sinners in general, the ones that most opposed Jesus were those in the know of religion. And that was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the ones, the scribes, the chief priests. These were the ones. When on Andy Griffith, Barney got lost in the woods on a camping trip with the boys. He was completely, Gomer even knew more about how to get back to the campsite. And Andy had to come out and rescue them, and some of you would probably remember this episode. But who was the one that said he knew more about any of that than anybody else but Barney Fife? He had studied it, knew about it, could survive in the wilderness, but right there he just got away from camp a little bit and he was lost. And Gomer said, "Barney, we're lost." "No, we're not lost." And the Pharisees were the non-comical version of that. And yet our Lord Jesus was very patient, and amid all this opposition, he taught the truth, but he did not excuse their unbelief. And people today like to be excused. They like to bring up some kind of hindrance they have. They've got a sickness, or they've got a hard time, or they've got a financial problem, and they can't bring this in. And it's no excuse, and Jesus doesn't let it go that way. It starts at verse 12 here. And this is part of a wider discourse. But verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, I have a lot of ideas, and I think you probably do as well, about how the world could be a better place. And, I mean, just that arise from us. How I wish people would do different than this. I was bringing Jessica home this week from Chick-fil-A, and a car over here in this lane decided to come over here a little bit into this lane where we were. And I had to move to the left to get out of its way. And I would have some things to advise about this driver, like get an eye check, learn the basic rules of the road, look around you before you make moves into other people's lane, and such as that. I had forgotten the CDs this morning. I had to go when we got here this morning. I said, "Oops, I forgot those." So I went back home and came back. And what would I run into? I thought of Dr. Belcher the whole way. A pokey. Ran right into a pokey. Just, you know, they weren't pedaling fast enough, or maybe they were pedaling as fast as they could pedal, but the car wasn't going that fast. And they went all the way to where I turned right and they turned left on Pine Hill. But all of that is me. And you would say, well, I go here and this happens and it shouldn't happen. Or I go to this restaurant and they do this and I wish they didn't. But it's just me. To come out as Jesus here says, that I am the light of the world, is to say that what he says is not an option, not just an opinion, but is actually applicable for the entire creation. What he thinks, what he rules on, what he estimates to be the way to be, is the way that is enlightening to the entire world. It's not a personal preference. It's not a particular food you like and eat and think it's good for you, and other people might disagree validly. It is universally binding. And is a claim that he makes that is like the dividing line between light and darkness. Because he says in verse 12, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That is the dividing line. If you follow Jesus and Jesus is light, you walk in light. Otherwise, you walk in darkness. Who can say that? We hear claim. We hear how a politician is going to change the entire world order, make a new start, make a change. How many times we hear change when politicians run for office? Oh, we're going to make a change. I mean, I guess it's a change if you have a house that's all together and then you get a hammer and beat it to pieces and it falls in. That's change. But good change, that'd be nice. But they could never say, "He who follows me will walk in the light, and he who doesn't will be in the darkness." They may say it, but it won't be valid. Jesus says it here. Previously he said in John 6:35 that he was the bread of life. Again, if someone else says that, some other religious leader says that they're the bread of life, that would run counter to this. These are areas of uniqueness. Declarations where Jesus is saying he is the basic essential of life. He's even defined in the scripture as life. Christ, who is our life. So Jesus is declaring, in essence, by being the light of the world and being the bread of life, that he and he alone is the one that is to be followed and worshiped and obeyed. And no other. And that runs counter to what our world believes, because our world is infected with the idea that we set our own way. The Bible says we do that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Everyone. All go that way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're fulfilling Scripture, but not to our benefit, by saying, well, the light that we have is just as valid as the light of Jesus. And the world is constantly speaking of a better way than the way of God. When people are counseled, in secular settings. They're not counseled in the Scriptures. They're not counseled about what the will of God is. When people are talking about how to make racism go away, all these problems that have now become more and more the standard or expected thing in this particular administration. Nobody talks about the heart of people. If you say something about the heart of people needing to be changed, people get offended. The world likes to think they're just fine the way they are. Just move a few chess pieces around, it'll all work out. It's not going to. And we're told that Jesus and Jesus alone holds this position. Now, in John 4, he doesn't say, "I am," in that chapter, but the way he talks about it, if you look back at John 4, verse 13, he's the light of the world in John 8. He is the bread of life in John 6. But in John 4, verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, the woman at the well in Samaria, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." That's Jesus could have said, "I am the water of life." So he's the water of life, the bread of life, the light of the world. Later on he'll say, "I'm the good shepherd." Our Lord Jesus is on purpose portrayed in the Gospels as being the one and only revelation of God. But it's offended. It's offensive to people. How many people are offended? I remember when Brother Barry said he had that class he taught, that one class that he was part of at a semester in a college, and he wrote up there John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And he turned around to an angry class. They were mad. What were they mad about? Well, they were mad that Jesus was declared as the only way. Well, who said that? Jesus did. And Barry told him, "You don't have a problem with me, you have a problem with Jesus." Are we offended if someone says, "Well, you know, you can get to North Carolina before midnight, but you're going to have to drive a car to do it"? What? I want to fly. I mean, fly. Flap my arms and fly. Well, you can't do that. Well, I'm mad. Remember, we used to get mad as kids because we didn't get our way somehow, and we'd make a face. We'd draw our face up, and we wanted to be seen. I mean, you didn't get mad if you were a kid. You didn't get mad, go off somewhere and get mad and get over it. That was not, you're missing the point then. If you're a kid, you get mad. Somebody's got to see it. And when they see it, they're going to change the way they feel about you, and they're going to do whatever you want done. That's kind of the adult version of that is kneeling down during the national anthem and stuff like that. Because they think people are going to look at, "Oh, we're so sorry, we've offended you. How can we change?" That's the adult version of that. But the kid version of it is we stick our lip out and we pout and we look sullen and angry, and our mom comes and says, "What's wrong? You wouldn't let me have some candy. Oh, I'm so sorry. Here, let me give you the whole bag of candy now." See, that's the thinking. And so we don't like to hear these things. I don't know why, except that it's sin. Because if Jesus is the only way to God, then that's the best thing for us to hear. If he's not, and he tells us, then we could be angry. But the problem is, people are angry if you say it now, and it's true. So, this is what's going on here. And so he says, "I'm the light of the world." Here is, in essence, a gift from God. Because he says there, "Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus, we're told, in him was life. So we have before the Pharisees and declared to the world here that if you follow me, and this simplifies life for us, if you follow me, you'll have the light of life. You want to have life? Here it is. You don't have to concern yourself now with some other religion, some other teacher, some other church teaching that might be against this, some other guru, a so-called other Messiah. It's all right here. You have found the one person that will bring life. If you're putting a puzzle together, all the pieces are unique. It's kind of fascinating, really. You literally cannot, I've never found, in my puzzle putting together days, you cannot find a piece that fits perfectly in any other place except the place it's supposed to go. And that would be if you had that kind of puzzle where every piece fit wherever you wanted to put it, that would be an awful thing. Because you would never know where it really went. And when you follow the cutout of the puzzle piece, and you find where it goes, and you stick it in there, and it fits perfectly, there is something that is released in our system that makes us go, ah. If you got 1,000 pieces of that, you can do that 1,000 times. That's why people put puzzles together. It's not painful, it's joyful. You find the piece. You can argue with it. Why does this piece have to go this one place? But that's folly. So Jesus says, I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. This is a messianic proclamation. There's nobody else on earth that's ever going to be able to say this rightly, accurately, truthfully. That the entire world, whatever color you are, whatever nationality you are, whatever gender you are, wherever you live, every person in the entire world standing right before you, Jesus says, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness but have the light of life. You won't be stumbling and falling. You'll be walking in the light and having life. Is that a bad thing? What is bad about verse 12? What is it about verse 12 that would make the Pharisees in verse 13 say, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true? It's just unbelief, blindness. Otherwise, they would say, wow, that which we have hoped for, we have found. We have no other place to go. Once you find what you're looking for, there's no other searching for it. It's a matter of taking it and having it. There's a time when you, if you're looking for a car to purchase, you look and you look and you look and you finally come to a place where this is the one. And you're not angry with the car because it's just exactly what you want it to be. You might be angry at another car because it's not what you want it to be exactly. If you're looking for a wife, a man's looking for a wife, he finally finds the woman he wants to marry, and he stops looking. When he finds ones that are not what he wants, and she would probably be the same way, you're not what I want, and you keep looking. And the Pharisees, Jesus tells them, I'm the one that will get you out of darkness and give you life. Overcome this death that's in you. This alienation from God. And then they challenge him and say, your witness is not true. So a lot of what we see here is Jesus again explaining to the Pharisees, yes, exactly, my witness is true. He says, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Well, he said that himself in John 5. If it's just one person, he's speaking, of course, of their law. But if you just have one person, it's not true. And so they're trying to turn that back on Jesus. And Jesus answers verse 14. Even if I bear witness to myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. In other words, he's absolutely true in and of himself because he is truth. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. And that was certainly true. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Jesus isn't making a judgment of the law, which would require two people. He is stating from his knowledge of all truth, absolute truth, what is the truth, where he came from, where he is going. Verse 16, yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. He's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. And again, Jesus is saying that he has another witness in the Father of who he is and where he came from. And the witness that was given of the Father was in the words that he uttered at the baptism by John, and also by the things he said which were from the Father, which were according to the law and consistent with the truth of God, and that God was empowering Jesus, and Jesus himself had power to do miracles. And these things testify of that he was from God. And so again, here's an opportunity for the Pharisees to say, oh yeah, and receive it. But do they know? They say, where is your Father? And they argue the whole time. You know, at the door, and when the Jehovah's Witnesses come by the door, you know there's going to be an argument. And you basically leave a witness. It's what I try to do. I try to show that what they're saying is not true, and to point out that there is a possible way for them to know what they wish they knew, right, they think they know right now, by actually knowing Jesus as the Bible portrays him. But it doesn't take long to know whether or not they're going to receive that. Because if every little thing is an argument, and every little thing they pick at and try to overcome in some way, even if they can't, you know it's not going anywhere. And, you know, guy came to the door the other day. He was wanting me to invest, the second time this has happened, a different company, wanted me to invest in smart doorbells and an alarm system and a thing that'll turn my if I just had the itch one time, the thermostat's right over there on the wall, but if I wanted to get in the car and drive to St. Matthew's and I could turn my thermostat to where I want it to be from St. Matthew's, and I'm saying, well, you know, that's appealing to me in a way. I like tech stuff, but like I told the other guy, I'm not interested now in that. And really, if he's a smart person, when I say that, he says, you know, I believe you, and I'm going to move on. If he's not smart, he'll say, well, yeah, let me show you this feature of it. Everything else is a waste of time. He should know that. Although maybe some people are able to be convinced. I'm not one of them. When I say no, it's not happening. So Jesus kept saying, who's the Father? So Jesus answers that. You know neither me nor my Father. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. Verse 21, he says, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Look what they said in response to that. The Jews said, they're kind of talking among themselves about it. Will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? What did they miss in that last statement? Jesus says to them, that if you follow him, you will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And they say, your witness is false. Then he gives the other things about how his witness is true, that the Father backs up what he says. Everything is absolutely true. They say, where is your Father? They're still not getting the issue. And then he says, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would know my Father also. And they don't follow with that. He's said that they don't know his Father. And he says, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. And what do they pick up on? Will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? They miss the thing where he says, you will die in your sin. This is what we do. We have a defense mechanism inside of us after the fall. It's not a good one. When we're told something unpleasant about our relationship with God, something true, not just unpleasant, but true, we have a defense mechanism. Basically, the defense mechanism is it's kind of like a Star Trek phaser on kill. If you ever watch Star Trek and the great phasers, and you could set them on stun or you could set them on kill. If you set them on kill, you know why they called that setting kill? Because when you got zapped by that, you just didn't fall over like a Western six-shooter battle and you took a bullet to the heart and you got about 2 minutes to tell them to say that you love your mom and things. It obliterated you completely. It just, and you were gone. And that's what we have in us. We have something in us that takes the truth where it says, Jesus says you'll die in your sin, and the phaser goes off, and it makes that go away. And we don't think about it. What do they think about? Well, I wonder where he's going. He must be going to commit suicide. There must have been some mystical thought they had that if you committed suicide, you went to the suicide place. He said to them, you're from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, I am is the literal. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. In other words, Jesus says, if you don't believe I am God, if you don't believe I am the God that you worship, the God who made you, the Son of the Father, the great I am that spoke to Moses, the burning bush, I am has sent you. You will die in your sins. And what do they say? After the phaser goes off and they get rid of the stuff that they don't want to hear, they say, who are you? In one movie, Clint Eastwood, he shot up every bad guy that came after him, every one of them. They all had three of them coming, High Plains Drifter. And they all came, and he took care of every one of them. And it wasn't even hard. And you know what the last guy said after he'd shot him a few times and getting ready to put him away? He said, who are you? Not, I've lived an awful life and I shouldn't have done this bad thing I did before that got me in this trouble. Who are you? The only thing that was left for him was a few more bullets and that was it. Who are you? You see, they don't want to know. Jesus says, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. And they did not understand what he spoke to them, that he spoke to them of the Father. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know what I am, that I am he. That I can do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. We're told in verse 30 that some believed in him. Many believed what he said, not the Pharisees. Because, you know, the matter with our Lord is if you want to believe the truth, it's all in him. If you don't, then you'll argue with him. If you accept it, then the argument is over. But if you don't want to accept it, the argument goes on. And it is a never-ending argument. Because until a person will bow the knee to Christ, they will protest and argue and say they need more and God's got to make it clearer and there's something that's bothering them intellectually, and on it'll go until their last breath is arguing with God. And that's what the Pharisees did. And Jesus would give them only what he had given them, no more. Because it's not a matter of light that they needed. It was a matter of submission to the light that was revealed, which they would not do. So what did the Pharisees need? They needed Christ. And not having Christ, they died in their sins. Because unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And that's what they did. And by the grace of God, we will be different than that. Let's all stand.